You're listening to the Ben Fordham Podcast. And now, Ben Fordham Comments.
Well, there are always lessons to be learned from tragedies, and there are two phases. The first phase is managing the crisis, and the second one is learning from it. And following the knife attack on a bishop in Sydney, we do need to learn a few lessons. There were several warning signs that this 16-year-old had issues. 3 months ago, the teenager was charged with a range of offences after an incident at a train station in Sydney. The charges included being armed with a weapon with intent to commit an indictable offence. The weapon, a flick knife. The same type of weapon he allegedly used to stab the bishop. The teenager was also charged with stalking and intimidation and recklessly damaging property. His punishment, well, he was put on bail and then dismissed with a good behaviour bond, even though the case against him was proven. So he was found guilty, but he was let go with a slap on the wrist. And since then, he hasn't been monitored by the authorities. Now, this was just one red flag. And here's another one. In 2020, the teenager was suspended from school. Why? Because he took a knife to school. That happened 4 years ago, so he would have been, what, 12 or 13 at the time? So there you have two incidents of this bloke carrying around a knife, one at school, another at a train station. And here's another warning sign. Members of the Islamic community were concerned about him for months. They'd grown concerned with the teenager's extreme religious views. They've told The Australian that a handful of Islamic centres around Greenacre warned him to stay away. And this was because the teen would not tone down his extreme remarks. According to people who prayed with him, the 16-year-old's mind had become poisoned. And after the attack, an audio message was circulating. It said, "It's him. As soon as I saw the videos, I knew it was him. He prayed with us today. He has been poisoned by a monster who has the radical Daesh mentality." Now, that refers to the terrorist jihadi group, the Islamic State, also known as Daesh. So there you have it. We have a kid who was known to police for carrying knives. He was let off and not punished. And we have a kid who was known to members of the Islamic community for having radical views. Now, did anyone call the police about him? That's what I want to know. There's a terrorism hotline that people can call if they have fears that someone's been radicalised. If it was good enough to kick him out of the prayer centre, did someone pick up the phone and warn the authorities? There's no suggestion they did. However, that will form part of the investigation. And we're not playing the blame game here. There will always be crazed people doing crazy things. But on this one, we can't say that nobody saw this coming. People praying with him thought he was dangerous, and authorities knew he was carrying knives to school and on public transport. So we can't say we had no warning signs. And tomorrow we're going to catch up with the psychiatrist Tanveer Ahmed. Now, he says that when it comes to dealing with people with serious mental health issues, we are not doing enough. First, we're relying too much on prescribed drugs. We give paranoid schizophrenics some pills, and then we send them on their way. Tanveer Ahmed says the law is also too soft on people with serious mental health issues who are also using illegal drugs like methamphetamine. He says most of the violent incidents by mentally ill people involve meth. And Tanveer says the mental health business or industry has become too soft. He says there's too big a focus on mild mental health conditions like depression and anxiety, and not enough of a focus on the very serious conditions like schizophrenia that can lead to this kind of random violence.